You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and for the rest of the hour, we're going to take a look at the latest chapter in the long and often confusing story of hormone replacement therapy. Now, remember last year, a major study linked hormone replacement therapy with an increased risk of breast cancer. Well, earlier this week, more results from that same group of women were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and the results are not good news. Not only is there an increased risk of breast cancer from combined hormone replacement, but the tumors are harder to detect, and that could lead to a delay in diagnosis. Joining me now to talk more about the study and what it means for women who are on or are considering hormone replacement therapies is Dr. David Dershaw. He is Director of Breast Imaging at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. He's here in our studios. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Nice to be here.
Tell us about this study. What does this study mean?
Well, first, I think it's important to emphasize that this is additional information from the study that came out last year, which caused a lot of talk about hormone replacement therapy and probably caused a lot of women to change what it is that they're doing. That follow-up was, the initial follow-up was about a year and a half, and this is almost a five-and-a-half-year follow-up. Mm-hmm. The important findings that were reported this week in JAMA included the fact that there was a 25% increase in breast cancers that developed in women who were on Prempro, which is a combination of estrogen and Premarin. It was a single dose of the hormone, and it was given by mouth. Those women had a 25% increase in the development of breast cancer, and the breast cancers that they developed tended to be more aggressive than the breast cancers that developed in women who were not taking hormones.
Wow. So what do you tell women? I'm sure this is more confusing now, or is it more reductionist and more confusing? What do you say?
Well, I think certainly for a woman who is considering going on hormone replacement therapy, she needs this knowledge, and it has to be part of the information that she has when she makes the decision. Now, there are certain things also that are important for an individual woman to know. This was not estrogen-only replacement therapy. Estrogen-only replacement therapy does not appear to increase a risk of developing breast cancer, mm-hmm. although there is a risk for developing cancer of the uterus in that. If you have had a hysterectomy, obviously that's not a problem. Secondly, the women who were involved in this study tended to be older. The average age was in the early 60s. So women who are 50 or so may have a different rate. We just don't know what that is. The greatest risk was for women who had a prior history of being on hormone replacement therapy, had stopped for a while, and then had started again. Women who were obese had less of an increased risk than women who were of normal weight or low body mass. So there are a lot of factors in here to be considered. Now, we also don't know what's going to be shown in another 5 years. The initial results that we have now compared to the results that were published last year give us new information. In another 5 years, we may have additional information that shows something that surprises us also. So we can only go with what it is that we know right now. It's information mm-hmm. that a woman needs to consider if she's contemplating going on hormone replacement therapy.
Did it also show that you could be on it a shorter amount of time and have a higher risk?
There was a higher risk that was conveyed by just a short amount of time on hormone replacement therapy, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, additionally, the study also reported that women who were on hormone replacement therapy, combination hormone replacement therapy, had a higher incidence of complicated mammograms, which required a workup and sometimes even required a biopsy. This is new in this study, but in fact it's been well known in the mammography literature because the presence of hormones can increase breast density and make lumps and bumps in a breast, as any woman who goes through her normal menstrual cycle and has cyclic tenderness or engorgement of her breasts knows.
What about for younger women who were not on it because of menopause, but they're on it because they're lacking the hormones? What does this say to them about?
This study doesn't address that issue. It addresses postmenopausal hormone replacement therapy.
So
and it addresses it with a single drug agent, mm-hmm. a single pill given orally. Now, whether or not the same thing happens if you use a cream or a skin patch is not addressed in this, and whether or not you use it at a different dose is not addressed in this study either.
Mm-hmm. Some say that the whole health benefit stories for hormones are really just unraveling now for postmenopausal women.
Well, they do seem to be passing by the by the wayside.
You know, why would anybody, now, very, very seriously, you know, I could say, why would anybody then choose, hearing all these horror stories, to have hormone replacement therapy? And then on the other hand, because we've done this so many times, and we hear from listeners, they'll say, you don't understand, my postmenopausal symptoms are so terrible, I'll try anything. You know, I'll take any risk, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Many women say that. I think that this information is appropriately used in consultation with a woman's gynecologist in making the decision about whether or not hormone replacement therapy should be used, what dose and what type of hormone replacement therapy should be used, if it's being used, how long it should continue for, and it's part of the body of information that goes into making the decision.
Mm. Well, while I have you here, and I'm glad you're here to talk about this, but also because the other day on I can't remember if it was a radio or TV ad, I heard this ad for screening, MRI screening,
Ooh.
That said, this is so much better than mammograms, mammography, that, you know, you're crazy if you don't have your loved one do this sort of thing. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think it's much better than mammography if you're the doctor who's billing for the procedure.
I see.
But it's not better than mammography. It's not. There is no science that indicates that it's better for mammography. There are no data at all that indicates that it's better for mammography in terms of a screening tool. The use of MR, as well as the use of sonography, which many women use. Mm-hmm. As a screening tool, is undergoing study at the present time. But I think that the experts in the field would be loath to advise any woman that it's a better tool, and no one, and I can't say that emphatically enough, no one would recommend that a routine screening mammogram be replaced with any other imaging study.
Hmm. Let's see if we can get a phone caller in. And it comes from Chuck in Davis, California. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Your guest had mentioned that PrimPro was a combination of estrogen and Premarin. It's actually a conjugated estrogen and progesterone. And one of the things that I think is really great about the WHI study is that it does talk about progestins, but it does not talk about progesterone. And one of the options for women that are having problems with menopause that I don't hear talked about a lot is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Does your guest have any comments on that?
Tell us what that means, Chuck. You sound like you know. Are you a pharmacist or something?
I am a pharmacist.
I thought so. Okay, go ahead.
Bioidentical hormone replacement therapy uses bioidentical hormones, the hormone progesterone that the human body already uses, the estriol, estradiol, estrone that the body already uses. It's not horse estrogen, and it's not synthetic modified progesterone, which progestins are.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying if we studied the natural ones?
I think they are being studied, and they are being used by quite a few women, but whenever WHI comes up or people say hormone replacement therapy causes breast cancer, it's sort of not true, and it raises a lot of red flags that need to be talked about, but there are options out there. When you say hormone replacement therapy as an all-inclusive thing, it sort of throws, you know, the baby out with the bathwater.
Before we get an answer, let me remind everybody that I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News with David Dershow, Memorial Sloan Kettering. What do you think, Dr. Dershow?
Well, Chuck, I appreciate your comments, and I certainly agree with the fact that we can't lump everything into one big container. I've tried to emphasize, and I hope that listeners will understand and that those who read the article in JAMA will understand, that this has looked at one particular pill and its impact on a variety of factors in women who take it. It doesn't look at other dosages of the same combination, doesn't look at other combinations, and it doesn't look at single agent hormone replacement therapy. Now, it's as you hypothesize about, in fact, what other things may or may not do, it's very interesting that in obese women, as I've mentioned, the impact in increasing the incidence of breast cancer is lower than it is on the same regimen for women who are of normal weight or of low weight. Women who are obese, as you may very well know, have a higher level of circulating estrogen. And it may be that the same combination with a higher estrogen dose may, in fact, and I'm just hypothesizing on this, but it may, in fact, lead to an alteration in the incidence of breast cancer. So this study is looking at one pill, and the information is valuable to women who are on that one pill. I think the information is most difficult to use for women who are not on that one pill.
And is this the most prescribed? Is this the most prescribed pill?
This is the big one.
This is the big one, and there will be other studies on the other pills that might come.
And hope so.
And this is a big population of women that are studied,
yes.
Right? So, what?
This was 16,600 plus women who were entered into the study.
And so, we don't have alternative regimens with women that big for other kinds of pills or other.
This is the big study so far, looking at these issues.
I guess if you'd have to be a drug company interested in spending the hundreds of millions of dollars on another study of a different kind of pill,
or another agency or organization interested in spending the money. But you know, it's also interesting because it's part of how medical knowledge evolves, and it modifies our treatment. And one's individual perspective on pills that they're taking as medical knowledge comes along.
So there might be an alternative. As a physician, you might say, let's not do that pill. Let's do another pill or try a different combination.
Well, you can only use the information that you have at the present time. I think it's reasonable to say to a woman who is on the pill, on this particular pill, that this is what the information we have shows. If she's on just estrogen, we have information that indicates that there is not an increased risk for breast cancer. But if she's on another combination, we don't have that information yet.
And why can't all women be on just the estrogen then?
It causes, the most important reason is that it increases the risk of developing uterine cancer. So if you've had your uterus out, it's not a problem. But if you have your uterus in, you may be trading one cancer risk for another.
So you've heard from hearing from your patients already, I'm sure, and doctors are talking about this new study.
We've been hearing from them since the study came out last year.
Right. Well, so thank you very much for joining us. You know, there's so many people. The phones light up when we talk about this, and you wonder how confusing it is. Whether we just make it more muddy, or we actually make it less confusing sometimes.
It's very difficult for doctors to figure out what this means, so it must be even more confusing for women who are taking these pills to figure it out. We do the best we can.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
David Dershaw is the Director of Breast Imaging at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Earlier, we spoke to Joseph Henderson, Associate Director for Terrorism Preparedness and Emergency Response at the CDC, William Winkenwerder, Assistant Secretary of Defense at the DOD, Brian L. Strom, Chairman of the Institute of Medicine's Committee on Smallpox Vaccination Program Implementation, and Gregory Poland, Professor of Medicine at the Mayo Clinic. Our program is produced by Ned Heist, Adrian McDonald, and Senior Producer Karen Vergoff. Charles Berquist is our Director and Web Producer, and our interns are Annalise Strachan and also Erica joined us today. If you'd like to write us, please send your letters to Talk of the Nation Science Friday, 1221 6th Avenue, 37th floor, New York, New York, 10020, or if you want to get some free curricula, surf over to our website and get at sciencefriday.com, and we make all of our programs into free curricula for students and teachers, and you're welcome to take part of that. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flato in New York.